Jesus invites each of us to follow him. He wants to lead us. In which way is Jesus trying to lead you now that maybe it's difficult for you, or maybe you haven't followed, or you're not obeying implicitly? Speak to him this morning. Listen to him this morning. What is Jesus saying to you? Where is he wanting to take you? He's asking you this morning, will you follow me? Will you allow me to lead you? Do you believe this morning that Jesus knows best? Do you believe this morning that he knows the end of your life from the beginning? Will you trust him? Will you follow him? Let's just give a few moments and let's just press into the Lord. Let each one of us just draw near to him this morning and hear what's on his heart for us. And I just want to give opportunity, if you feel a specific leading of the Spirit, something that you feel is for the congregation, please come forward. I'm going to give you that opportunity just to share quick.
Just looking at the ants walking up my wall, and it's a long string of ants going up and then coming down and working together, but only one was out of that lot. He went on his own. When they would come down, he would go up, go in circles, come back down, go back, but he never reached the top or the bottom hole. He just went round in circles, up a little bit, up, turn around, come back, off this way, off that way, and he was totally lost. And as I was looking at this, I was thinking how it is with us. That if we go our own way, our own direction, and we're thinking we can do it on our own and walk this walk on our own, and we don't need fellowship, we don't need one another. I can do it on my own. I've got a one-on-one with the Lord. Go off the track, come back, never reaching your destiny. Because it's like the one coal that's taken out of the fire and set aside. It dies. Because it needs to be together. And it's the same with these ants. They work in unison. They walk in unison. And so it is with us, the church. And the church is not the building, but us. These people need to always encourage one another, walk with one another. Just think about that.
While we were worshiping, I just felt like God, speaking to everyone, I think, in church this morning, is 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, is a very familiar scripture to all of us, which goes, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal their land." Just feel that God is really talking to each one of us, because I mean, we want to see changes, but where does the change start? It starts by yourself. So we first need to do that change before we can see changes happening. And yeah, I just feel it's for everyone this morning.
Good morning, church. This morning I'm standing here with a thankful heart, and I know that the Lord got a purpose for our lives. And you know that I can speak English, but I want to speak in Afrikaans so that I can explain myself. Ek het gaan kuier by 'n vriendin van my, en jy weet, en Ons het by die oggendure het ons vasgeslaap en hulle het ingebreek by 'n crèche. En die crèche was net langs die huis. En toe besef ek net so weer eens dat jy weet daar's burglarbaas voor en die vensters is so solied dat jy kan nie eintlik daar deurie en ek besef net weer eens dat hoe die Heilige Gees moet struggle om deur ons harte te kom, om in ons harte te kom werk. En jy weet ek besef net weer eens dat ons het so 'n groot voorreg. We've got a big big privilege before the Lord to have all these things that he give us for free. And yet we gave nothing back to him. He just asked us to take somebody's hand and walk around with him. Just to share, just to open a relationship into the world. You know, to just make a difference so that people can realize that our lives didn't end just there by the breakage or what the loss that we have or something like that. But we have to walk around with the Lord to see all these beautiful things that the Lord got in store for us.
Good morning, church. I didn't want to share, but I just feel the Holy Spirit wants me to share. I've been talking to a lot of believers lately, and I just feel the believers are struggling. I don't know if it's attacks of the enemy. So I've been praying the whole weekend about it, and this morning the Lord just laid the scripture in Matthew 11 on my heart. The Lord loves us. The Lord said to me, no matter how the enemy has been hindering my children, I'm still the same God of Abraham and Jacob. And I will take my children. And the Lord said, this is the time, most of every time, that he's with us. And he will help us and he will never leave us. And all those who are heavy laden, you can bring your burden to him, because he will take it. He loves us. So if there's anyone this morning who feel far, who feel the Lord is not with him, he's there. He's there and he wants to love you. He wants to tell you everything is going to be okay. Don't believe the lies of the enemy, because I'm still God. Father, I just thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that your children can gather together here, Lord God, in your house. To know, Lord Jesus, that you are still our God. That we don't believe in pagans, that we believe in a living God. A God that died for us on the cross. Lord Jesus, I pray that this morning, that your word will come through to all of our hearts through your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Because this morning we need you, Lord. We need you so much, Father God. There's nowhere else we're going to go except to your throne, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning for the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you die for our sins, Father God. Please cover us with your precious blood this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Morning, everybody. Lovely, cool day for a change, eh? I think this is about the last sermon in our series of freedom, isn't it, Tiens? So, open your hearts this morning. And I believe really that the Lord has got a special word for us this morning. My first scripture is in Acts 10. God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And God's freedom is for everyone. It doesn't matter what your nationality or heritage is, or who your family is. It doesn't matter how much money you have or what you don't have. God wants you free from everything that would hold you back from your intimate relationship with Him. God wants to have you free from everything that holds you back from an intimate relationship with Him. God wants to pour out His abundant blessing on all who honor Him and do what is right. In fact, the Bible says in Galatians that in Christ there is no Jew or Greek or even male or female, and may I add, brown, black, or white. That means God's not judging you based on physical condition. He is looking at your heart. Now, yesterday morning, Delisa and I went to a restaurant to have a cup of coffee, and I picked up the newspaper. Can you believe there was some little article about freedom, which I thought would be appropriate for this morning? It says, what are the negative results of freedom? Habits form in freedom that may one day become fatal to that freedom. And maybe democracy carries the seed or germ of its own demise. We all know the bitter fruit, for example, how freedom among our youth can lead to devastating addictions. There are so many stories of so many people who use personal freedom just to live for themselves and to be just concerned about their own good fortune or riches, most probably totally unaware of what they are doing. Isn't so true, even in our own country? They don't care about the community, but only think and dream about themselves. They never become active in the community, not involved in any upliftment or projects for the needy, except for the SPCA. But they alienate themselves, sitting back and criticizing everything and always knowing better, but not lifting a finger. That is the danger of freedom. Now, this morning I want to talk to you about freedom from fear. The title of my message is People Who Are Afraid Always Run to Hide in Caves. Next one. So, people who fear or who are afraid usually retreat into a place where they can be alone, a dark place, where they feel safe against the dangers and attacks from outside. Fearful people always run to that dark place where they can hide. Now, here's a quiz that's worth at least 20 rand. Where do we find the first reference in the Bible of someone who went to hide in a cave? Come on. No, it's much earlier. Come on, 20 rand, man. Huh? Adam and Eve. No, that's too way back. They hid in the bushes. Pardon? No. Ah, come on. Sorry. We'll keep this 20 rand over for the next time. No. It was Lot. Lot. Now, the first reference was Lot, Abram's relative. And we know how God saved Lot and his whole family by telling them to flee from Sodom and Gomorrah. But God instructed Lot not to turn around and look back. Now, I wonder whether Lot's wife ever heard that the angel giving Lot these instructions. Maybe she was busy talking too much. But the instructions were very clear and precise. Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere near the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Now, somewhere Lot's wife missed it. Maybe while climbing the hill, she suddenly remembered, or she forgot the chihuahua at home. So she turned around, and what happened? She turned into a pillar of salt. Lot trekked further on, but what he had experienced must have been brought doubt in his heart, and he fled to hide in a cave. And in that cave, of course, he got drunk, and in that drunken stupor, he was intimate with both his daughters, and he hides because he's afraid to, and he tries to escape from the realities of life. Fear forces you to seek refuge in caves. Fear is faith in the enemy rather than faith in God and His Word. That is fear. Fear is not the absence of faith. We will always have faith. It just all depends on what you believe. Either you believe that God is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, or you believe that God does not exist. But I always believe something. It is impossible not to believe. You always have faith, but you determine what you believe. Faith is the enemy. Faith in the enemy is nothing else but fear. And fear is when you are convinced that you are seeing something as if it is a reality, but it is not true. Now, I remember during the army days, I was in the commandos, and the danger of standing guard at night and being surrounded by terrorists, and eventually you spot one in the dark, in the dim moonlight, and he's there in a crouched position, ready to attack. He is motionless, trying to blend into the background, and your heart is pumping here in your throat, ready. You are ready to shoot at the slightest move of the enemy. But on closer examination, you find out that this terrorist is an old tree stump. And now, if you are on guard duty and you are surrounded by the enemy, then you assume tree stumps are terrorists. And that is a dangerous place you find yourself in. When you imagine you see things or believe lies as the truth. A place where fear just overwhelms you. When your own realities seems more truthful than the reality of God, what God says in His Word. It is a very dangerous place to be in when fear rules your life. Excuse me. Fear is the dark room where your negatives are developed. Now, the younger generation won't have a clue when we talk about developing photos from negatives in a dark room. They only know about digital cameras. Now, Blanche, you and I have, we know about negatives, eh? The old Kodak Brownie box camera. Now, after taking your picture, you had to remove the film from the camera in a dark room, because if this film was exposed to light, your whole film would be ruined. Negativity, fear, forces you into a dark room, and the only thing that develops in that dark room are negatives. In the dark room, there is the absence of light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. My brother and sister, I pray this morning that this word will be like a light shining into our hearts so that the darkness will flee. The enemy rejoices when he can get us to a place of fear, darkness, negativity, and bitterness. Especially after 22nd April 2017, the prayer meeting in Bloemfontein. God brought us as a nation to our knees. And the devil answers with uprisings in Colini and in Lichtenberg. Did we think that everything was going to be hunky-dory now? No. He does his part as well. But just look at the fruit of April 22nd. I want to show you just a small clip. He says, they say, can a nation be born in a day? And this is one of the examples of the fruit of what Jesus is doing in our beautiful land. There was an incredible meeting in the South African Tswana Parliament, convened and addressed by Mrs. Katleko Matebe, Speaker of the Parliament. It was members of Parliament and ministers and businessmen coming together. Grant that this happened in our National Assembly as well. We see in the Bible that every time God's people were in danger, were threatened, especially by the Philistines or all the other nations, that they fled to caves to hide. That's the story of the Old Testament. Just like Gideon, who hid in a cave. And the normal reaction to fear is to go into hiding. Whom of you experienced the reaction, when I fear, I tend to go into hiding? There's a knock on the door, and you look through the window, and you see there's a police officer, or the bank manager, or the messenger of the court, the bailiff. And then you go and hide under the bed, and you pretend that you're not at home. When you fear, you are quick to switch off the cell phone, unplug the house phone, and switch off the email, and not watch the emails for a few days, because you fear that bad news. You were the doctor, and he took some blood tests, and the results would be coming forth the next day, but you don't have the courage or the guts to face the results. And then it is easy to adopt the ostrich mentality and stick your head in the sand or in a hole so that you don't have to face the realities of life. We are living in a country that is currently experiencing a dark, dark period. The economy, politics, violence, poverty, unemployment, the people are restless, corruption is rife, farm murders, rape. People are losing their homes. Their marriages are breaking up. Lives, self-respect, moral values, their hearts and minds. Your life is a mess. You seek, you knock, you cry out, you cry, you laugh, you get angry. You feel empty and lost, and Satan laughs. It's over. Swallow those pills, pull the trigger, jump off the edge. Fear and uncertainty is the order of the day. But God has the last say. Brothers and sisters, and that's it's why it seems as if darkness is engulfing our country. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy, who wants to change this so-called darkness into a reality. A voice that wants to tell you that this is now the beginning of the end for South Africa. Start stockpiling food, tinned food, bottled water, and hide the 9mm pistol under your pillow every night you go to bed, because the end is nigh. And ons boere sê mos, dis mos wat Sine van Rensburg gesê het. And my question is, Whose report will you believe? I believe in the word of God. I believe what the Lord says. I hold you in the palm of my hand, and I am in control. And I have a plan with your life. Even as children of God, my brothers and sisters, we experience negative things, dark things. But Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Nothing will pluck you out of my hand, the Lord says. Jesus never said that if you believe in him, we will dwell on this earth forever. But you will live although you have died. Yes, I'll live. Our hope in Christ is not just for this here and now on this earth. Therefore, we cannot allow this darkness to overwhelm us and that it becomes the norm of reality for us. Isolation, depression, loneliness, pain, sickness, these are all factors that force us to a place where the devil would love us to be, because he wants to isolate us from the reality of the truth of God's word. All we have to do is to open our hearts a tiny little bit and say, maybe this is true, maybe this is the beginning of the end. You wake up in the middle of the night, suddenly with a terrible pain in your shoulder, and you feel on your armpits, and you feel the swollen glands, and the enemy tells you, it is terminal. It won't even help you to consult your doctor. Say goodbye to your wife. The end is nigh. The enemy specializes in that. He sows the doubt in the middle of the night when it is dark and there is no light and the darkness overwhelms you. And every problem, you know that, every problem that occurs in the nighttime seems 10 times worse than what it is in the daytime. That is when we stand on God's word. Joshua 10 verse 15 tells us about five nations. Tell about five nations that were defeated by Joshua and his men. But the five kings of those five nations feared for their lives. And guess what they did? They went to hide in a cave. Verse 16. But these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in a cave at Makkedah. Verse 17. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave at Makkedah. Verse 18, so Joshua said, that's nice. Roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. He didn't tell his men to go crawling to those caves to find those five kings. All he said was, seal it up. Now that cave, which was supposed to be their salvation, suddenly became their prison. If you hide in your cave for too long, it eventually becomes your prison. Be careful. That dark hole you sometimes enter can so easily become a comfort zone. And the reality is that the enemy can so easily roll a stone in front of the exit so that you cannot come out again. And this morning, my brothers and sisters, you must choose to get out of your cave. But if you choose to stay, that cave can become your grave. Not just your prison, but your grave. Verse 22, then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. Joshua then struck them and killed them and hanged them on five trees so the whole nation could see. That evening, they took them down from the trees, cast them in the cave where they were hidden, and laid stones against the cave mouth. It became their grave. How often have we seen that when people choose to live with bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred, racism, or depression, then their prison turns into a grave. If you don't choose to come out of that prison or grave, that will be the end of you. Choose this morning to walk in the light, to walk in the light of God's word, so that your prison and grave can be changed into bright light. 1 Kings 18, verse 3. And Ahab called Obadiah, who was in charge of the house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for so it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and wine. Obadiah feared God. For many of us, the fear of man is greater than the fear of God. You cannot fear God, but at the same time, that you are afraid of what people might say about you or do to you. Fear of man means unbelief in God. That is why we are so slack in testifying about the goodness of God. We are so afraid people will be offended. Fear of man believes unbelief in God, and that means I do not respect God. Obadiah feared God. He hid the 100 prophets. 100 men of God hiding in two caves because they feared a lie. Verse 13, Obadiah says to Elijah, "Was it not reported to my Lord that what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men in the Lord's prophet, 50 to a cave, and fed them bread and water?" I believe Elijah at that moment just about did a few backflips. How can you hide the Lord's prophets in a time such as this in a cave and quieten them, while sin is rampant and Ahab and Jezebel have a free hand doing just what pleases them? It is time to let God's people loose to say, "Thus saith the Lord." To draw a line in the sand and say, "Enough is enough." Elijah and Obadiah gathered all the Baal prophets and the whole nation on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Yeah, you all know the rest of the story. The Baal prophets prayed and pleaded and cut themselves, but Baal did not answer. And then Elijah prayed to them, proved to them that there is only one God, and that God answered with fire. Fire is also light, and that light displaces the darkness. We as God's people cannot afford to be silenced in a time such as we find ourselves today. We have to let God's word speak. Our government is contemplating new legislation concerning hate speech. Any preacher who would quote the word of God, example, criticizing or mentioning the parts where divorce and homosexuality are regarded as sinful, some would come, could go and report you to the authorities, and you would be fined or sentenced. These are the times that we are living in. It is the spirit of the age. But my brothers and sisters, do not fear. These things should rather just strengthen our faith in God. Don't flee to a cave. We should rather say, bring it on. John 11. We read about Lazarus lying in a cave. He had died and the cave was his grave. Martha and Mary say they believe that he will be raised up in the resurrection of the last day. But Jesus says, "He is the author and giver of life." And he commands them to roll the stone away. Then Jesus cried in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Now, why did he call him by name? I believe that if it only said, "Come out," all the dead would have come out. Because when God says, "Come out," then you come out. Some of us here this morning are going to come out of our graves. He's going to bring you out so you can walk and live in the light of God's word. Don't allow circumstances to rule your life, and that these circumstances become such a reality that you become depressed And that eventually becomes your prison and your grave. Come out. The power of the church is the empty grave. We don't believe like some of these theology professors by name, Saki Spangenberg, who says that the body of Christ, of Jesus, was somehow, somewhere lost, or maybe it was devoured by dogs. And that it does not really matter that Jesus is not alive, as long as you believe that he's in your heart. No, we believe in the empty grave of Jesus Christ, that he rose from the dead on the third day, and that he is seated on the right hand of God the Father, from where he will come again to rule and reign as king over us forever. The cross and the empty grave are the symbols of the church. But now, just to end this whole thing, Gideon's story is so wonderful. It starts when he was threshing wheat in the winepress in order to hide from the Midianites, Judges 6. It does not start where Gideon's sitting on the throne like some ruler, but his story starts where he is hiding in fear of the enemy. And while in that hole, hiding in fear, he hears the angel of the Lord says to him, "Shame on you, cease for you. Just look where you are hiding." True, eh? No, of course it's not true. Listen to how the angel of the Lord greets Gideon. "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now, if it was me and the angel had spoken to me, I would have turned around and said, "No, whom are you speaking to now? Because that's not me. I'm hiding and I'm so afraid." So this story starts where he is hiding in a hole, so afraid. Now, you remember how Gideon started marching with thousands of men. Then God says, "No, no. There are too many of you. This is overkill. I am going to perform a miracle, and you allow me the honor of a miracle. Go to the brook and let the men drink water." How? The weapon, the sword in one hand, and then with the other hand, lapping up water to his mouth. Only 300 men did it this way. And I believe Gideon in his heart must have thought, "Oh Lord, are you going to send back the 300? Let me keep the rest." But the Lord says, "No." Judges 7:7. "By the 300 men who leapt, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand." Then he divided 300 men into three companies of 100 each. And he put a trumpet in each man's hand, and in the other hand, an empty clay pot, a pitcher. And in the pitcher, a torch. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do just as I do." Verse 18. "When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" Verse 19. "So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers and that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers." All of a sudden, it must have seemed like three huge spotlights that had been switched on. And the Midianites, I believe, must have been shocked out of their blood group. And all three groups shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." In one hand, they held the trumpet. And in the other hand, they held the burning torch. That was all they had in their hands. But what were they shouting? "The sword of the Lord." But none of the 300 had a sword with them. Only the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. But where were these two swords? What is the sword of the Lord? The sword of the Lord is the Lord, the word of the Lord. What were these three men shouting? These 300 men shouting? The word of God. So what were they saying? Let it be just as the word of God said. Shofar. We live in a time when we must take up the word of God and say, the sword of the Lord, it is written. It is written. The word of God says, this is when you and I in our cave are going to start proclaiming or speaking the word. It is then that God will give us the breakthroughs in our lives. It is the word of God and the unction of the Holy Spirit that will cause us to be victorious over adverse circumstances. It is when God's word becomes a reality in our lives and not just perceptions or experiences of your own feelings. Ach, I remember that song that Koos van der Merwe, Houtkruis, onthou jy, ek vra nie hoe jy voel nie. As gevoelens hoegenaamd besluit te raak, dan was daar nooit 'n kruis nie, toe die spykers deur die bloed die houtkruis kraak. Be careful about your feelings, but rather confess, it is written. May the word of God become a reality to all of us. This is when I truly believe every word in the, when I truly believe in every word in the Bible, and I become free in my spirit, out of my cave. God's word, the sword of the spirit, brings freedom. Say with me, God's word sets me free. And if you find yourself in a cave, it is time that you will say, God's word says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If I sit in my cave and I say to myself, I don't know where tomorrow's finances will come from, or I remain sick and there is no improvement, or the problems of our country are becoming so much, where shall I emigrate to, me and my wife and my kids? No, I can do all things through Christ. I am free, although I might not feel it. But God's word says, I am free. And I start speaking life. I am free. I have been set free. I don't feel set free, but I am more than a conqueror. I'm a child of God. He has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. So far, it is time for us to walk around with a sound mind. What is a sound mind? Guarded thoughts. No negativity or darkness, not burdened. God protects my thought. My thoughts. A sound mind means I don't get off my head. Ek raak nie my kop af nie. I don't panic. I don't break out in a cold sweat at night because of fear. God controls my thoughts. But then I have to know His word and apply it to my life. Now just finally, just a few scriptures. Just a few scriptures. To still or calm your spirits. After this morning, never again say, I can't take it anymore. Because Philippians 4 says, I can do all things through Christ. Never again say, I'm so afraid of the future, the economy, the crime and violence. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, for God has given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Never again say, the devil made me do it. Oh, I went to the pub to have a Coke with my friends, but when I looked again, there were four empty bottles of beer. 1 John 4 verse 4 says, for he is who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Never again say, I can't win. I'm not talking about the lotto. But 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. Never again say, I've messed up too much in my life. Romans 5 verse 20. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Psalm 31 verse 22. I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. New Living Testament, Testament says, in panic I cried out, I'm cut off from the Lord, but you heard my cry for mercy and answered my call for help. My brothers and sisters, a calm, undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. Proverbs 14, verse 30. The church is the only answer to all the problems in the world that we face. If we fear the future, if we fear the future, just think how much worse it is in the world outside. Our responsibility is to give hope. But what hope can we give if we talk like the world and we continue with negative confession? Father God, thank you that this morning you are going to get us out of our caves of fear and of doubt, of negativity. Father, I pray that this body of yours will be positive because God has a plan for each one of us. And God has a future for this country. Lord, we know, as the scripture was read this morning, if my people who are called by my name, Lord, we are those people that are called by your name. If we will just humble ourselves and repent, you will heal our land. And Father, we are so privileged above so many other countries in this world where there's strife and there's chaos. Lord, I think of Mighty Men camp that is taking place at the moment in the Karoo. More than 30,000 men calling upon the name of God. You are faithful. We know that you will answer us and that you will bring peace and that this country will be ruled in righteousness. Whenever a king rules in righteousness, there's always peace. Father, we remind you of your promises pertaining to this village, this town, that each one of us will just be bold enough not to just be Sunday Christians, but that we will take up our place wherever we move, wherever we go. Here is ons draers van heilige voorwerpen, because Christ lives in us. And that we will be representatives of your kingdom. Thank you, Father. We honor you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if there's anybody who struggles with fear in any area of his life, we will be here to pray for you. No matter what it is, whether it's financial, whether it's family, whether it's the future, please don't hesitate to come forward and we'll pray for you. Otherwise, go and enjoy a lovely cup of free Turbador coffee. Amen.